thanks to Jerry and Michael that have given me the privilege to sit up here and have the privilege of sharing God's word this morning. You guys okay?
Yeah.
Say hi to the person on your right, please. You know, that never works.
No.
Never really works, totally. Hey, my wife and I are super blessed to be here, and for some of you, we haven't seen some of you for 6 months or a year, and it's really great to be able to see you and fellowship all together. And for those of you who've come from Florida, it's really great to be able to get to know you better, and if you're here for the first time, welcome, and if there's anything that we can do for you, please let me know. You know, last night was really great. I know Stephanie made a lot of comments, but what a way to start off, that we understand righteousness, that we understand forgiveness, that we understand no condemnation. We can be free. We don't have to have guilt or bitterness or whatever. We can just be totally free to be able to love and serve and all those things. And man, that's great. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us what?
Free.
That's great. Well, I'd like to start off this teaching today by quoting William Shakespeare. Jesse, what do you think of that? Huh? Pretty good. Okay, here we go. Here it is. Ready. This is from Juliet in Romeo and Juliet. I'm going to teach today on the name of Jesus Christ. Here it says, she says, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." What's in a name? Juliet said. The context of this in Romeo and Juliet is she's saying names aren't important. Now, maybe for her situation in the play, that's what she was trying to tell people. But we have the name of Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus Christ and what that name stands for, what that name represents, the accomplishment, the power, the position behind that name is everything in our life that represents our spiritual victory in doctrine and in practice. The name of Jesus Christ for us is extremely meaningful. But that expression, "in the name of," is not all that common in English. We might have that expression in English where the police officer who's pulled you over, he might say, "Stop in the name of what?" Stop in the name of the law, because the law has position. The law has power. The law has authority. Therefore, you driving that car, Rosie, stop. Stop in the name of the Lord. I'm getting a little older. I need help. Do you guys hear music? Tim, do you hear music? Okay, stop. What does that prove? I'll do anything to get your attention. Stop in the name of love before you break my heart. Something that has authority, something that has position, something that is higher than all this, dude, you stop because you're breaking my heart. We don't have a whole lot of examples of that phrase, you know, in the name of, but we're going to look at today in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to see the greatness of that name, and then we're going to see how to use that name, the greatness of the name, and then how to use that name. You know, it's the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what does Jesus, there's a difference between Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus. Sounds the same, but the order is reversed. Jesus Christ, Jesus, was the humiliated one. He was the one that walked on the earth. He was the one that suffered and died. He was the one that did these things. And this Jesus, the humiliated one, he was the Christ, the Messiah. He was the promised one. He was Jesus, the one that walked on the earth. He was the Messiah. You know, some of you guys know better than me, but in the world, there's a lot of Jesuses, isn't there, sometimes? But there's only one Jesus, the Christ. Christ Jesus, biblically, refers to his resurrected position, seated in the heavenlies, and that's really important. Jesus Christ was the one that walked on the earth, and now a different aspect of his ministry, Christ Jesus refers to him seated in the right hand of God and what we have in Christ. So today we're going to look at this term of in the name of Jesus Christ. This term in the name of then represents whatever's behind that, the authority, the power, the position, the background of everything that name represents, and that's what God has given to us. And it's really important that we really understand what God has given us so that we can use it. Take your Bibles, everybody, and look at Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 7, Philippians 2:7, it says, but made himself of no reputation. This is talking about Jesus Christ. It's on page 261 in my Bible. But made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. That's some cool stuff right there. He humbled himself. He humbled himself to whatever God wanted him to do, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of his cross, of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is what? Above every single name. Jesus Christ was given a name. He acquired this name, and he acquired it because he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of his cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name. And watch this, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, in things of earth, in things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This name is above every name. Is this name above every devil spirit name? Yes. It is above every devil spirit name. And in that name, we have the victory over every single spiritual power in life. I think in the manifestations, God said something, he's blessed us beyond measure, or with some kind of, look at that. We have the name of Jesus Christ, a name that's above every single name. And that is really great. Let's take a look at Ephesians, please. Ephesians. In that name of Jesus Christ, we have access to God, don't we? How many of you guys live in Atlanta? Why don't you go see the mayor after this weekend is over and say, in the name of Steve, I'd like to go visit the mayor. that might not be too successful, would it? And the reason is because that name, my name, doesn't have a lot of power. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians 1 and in verse 17. Ephesians 1 and in verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. In the world, there's a lot of powerful names. Jesus Christ is above every single name. And that's pretty cool. Look at Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12 it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be what? Saved. There's no other name where we get deliverance, where we get salvation. Not Buddha, not anybody else, but Jesus Christ. And we've been given that name. The term in the name of Jesus Christ stands for everything that he accomplished, the authority, the power, the accomplishments, the position, everything behind that name. And that name is in that name where we have victory in life, and we can use that name also. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, please, and in verse 38. Acts 2, please. Acts 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, and in verse 38, it says, and Peter said, repent. The word repent means to change. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of pneuma hagion. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So this was the new birth. Let's take a look here, and let's look at baptism for a minute. Look at Acts chapter 1 and in verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and in verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with what? Water. John, that was in the past. John baptized with water, but you guys in the future on the day of Pentecost, you were going to be baptized with something greater, and that was but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Look back at Acts chapter 2, please. So the baptism of John was water baptism. It was an external washing with water. In verse Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. They were going to get the new birth, and they were going to get Holy Spirit, and they were to be baptized, not in water. They were going to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That has power, and devil spirits do not like that name. They do not. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, to be baptized, when years ago when they did water baptism, they just didn't put their pinky in there. They were dunked all the way, what John did and back then, right? Okay, so we weren't to be baptized in water, but we were to be baptized completely immersed, completely full, completely done in the name of Jesus Christ. What we have complete in the name of Jesus Christ is everything that name stands for. That's when we get born. We have it when we're born again. It's Christ in us. It's the position. It's the power. It's the right to have the victory in life. Everything that name represents is what we have in the new birth in the name of Jesus Christ. That is complete victory. That's a position of victory in the world. We can use that name of Jesus Christ, and in that name, we have power. Remember in Power for Abundant Living or some foundational class that you took? It's Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. Ladies and gentlemen, what power the church had if they only knew it. Christ in you. Jesus Christ could be at one place at one time. Now he's not at one place, but he's in thousands of places all over the world because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now we can chop old Satan's ears off 1,000 times. Remember that line? Why? Because it's not one place at one time, but now it's all over the place when we have spirit, when people are born again. Now the question is, do we really believe that we have that? Do we really believe who we are like Jesus, like we were taught? Like, you know, that's super important. Do we really believe that? And then we walk on it. That victory that we will have in life will totally, that we have it spiritually, but it will totally depend on, do we believe who we are? Like Jerry taught last night, we can chop old Satan's ears off 1,000 times. Look at John chapter 14, please. John 14. We take the place of the absent Christ. We take the place of the absent Christ. He's in us. He's in us. What do we think of ourselves? He's in us. We take the place of the absent Christ. John chapter 14, please. John 14. And in verse 12. John 14 and in verse 12. Look at this. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me. Okay, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you believe on him? Raise your hand. Okay, pretty good. Do you believe on him? Raise your hand. If you're falling asleep, raise your hand. No, it says, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What works did he do? Name one. He raised the dead. I guess that means that if it's God's will in a situation, you could raise the dead. What else did he do? He healed people. I guess that means that we could heal people. What else did he do? cast out devils. I guess that means that every single one of us in here that are born again, that means that you could do it if you believe God at who you are and you get the go sign to do it. Do you want to heal people? Do you want to cast out devils? Do you want to do miracles? Do you want to raise people from the dead? Then believe this verse and listen to this teaching. How's that to get your attention? Huh? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's the truth or a lie. If that's a lie, then it ain't worth anything. But if that's the truth, then think of who we are and think of the ability that we have in Christ. Here it is. Look at this. We take the place of the absent Christ. Verse 13. And whatsoever you do, you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, here is a book. This is called The New Dynamic Church, La Iglesia Nueva y Dinámica, right? Did I say that okay? All right. Now, look at this. So here in this book, it says, this is a chapter on your power of attorney. What is the power of attorney? What is it to have the power of attorney in your life or in the life of the church? Do you know? The power of attorney is the legal right to use the name of the person who has given you the power. The power is limited only to the extent of the resources behind the name. If the church has been given power of attorney, then it has as much power as the name of Jesus Christ. If the name of Jesus Christ has power, then that name has been given you. Then you have the power of attorney to execute in that name whatsoever resources he has available. Now, you guys know, a lot of you know that my wife is from Chile. Is that right? Just have to be sure of these things. So say my wife and I, we leave and we go to Chile to eat some empanadas down there. And we're down there for about a month eating empanadas. And we go there and gain a little weight down there possibly. And we leave all of our house or whatever, and we leave it to Elise. Elise, where are you? Are you in here? This could be good for you here. Listen. Okay, we leave it to Elise and Gina, who is not present at this time. They're our girls. And we say, look, we're leaving. We're going to go eat some empanadas. We're going to go visit the relatives. You have power of attorney. You can take care of our business, okay? You take care of stuff. We're not going to be here, but we trust you. We're giving you this responsibility. You carry out our will. That's a big responsibility because we own a house and a car, and that's a lot. What we have, power of attorney. Jesus Christ is not here anymore. He's in us, but we take the place of the absent Christ. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to carry out his business on earth. What did Jesus do? He spoke the word. He operated power. He loved people. He took care of people. He did all these things. He ain't here, quote, end of quote. And you know what? We have power of attorney. Not only do we have his ability, but we can use his name. We can use his name, and that is really important. Here it says in verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, here, this is really important. When we pray, we're to ask things in the name of who? You know, a lot of people pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard of that? They didn't pray like that in the book of Acts. There's no record of people praying like that in the book of Acts. They ask God in the name of Jesus Christ. And look what it says here. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we ask, when we go to God, pray in the name of Jesus Christ. What a great level of prayer that we have. We have a great backing to our requests when we use that name of Jesus Christ. Let's take a look, please, at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 again. Acts 2. This was the end of Peter's sermon there. In verse 37, it says, after all he taught on the day of Pentecost, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, what are we going to do after hearing all this great teaching that you did? What are we going to do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in water, not in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but have all that name represents inside of you when you get Holy Spirit. We're going to get Holy Spirit at the new birth and all that thing. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin and receive the gift of Holy Spirit. So then in Acts chapter 3, let's take a look at this. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up to, were Peter and John born again here, by the way? Do you believe that? Were Peter and John born again?
Yes.
Were Peter and John born again?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up to together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried when they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask an alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, he had the power to heal. Such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man, it says here, was lame from his mother's womb. He never walked. He didn't know what it was like to walk. And he was laid daily at the temple gate because he wanted help. And these people came by and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, in this power that I have, because God's given it, in this name and everything this name represents, the power, the position, the authority, the accomplishments, in the name of Jesus Christ, what that name stands for, you rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and what? Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine being in that situation? And maybe we were the ones that did that, and God gave us revelation. We just knew at that time it was the right thing, And you said in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And that person stands up and walks. We have that ability. We have that power. But if we walk around the world, and sometimes I condemn myself once in a while, and maybe you do too. If we walk around and we think we're nobody or we don't have that power, we don't have that believing to do that because we're thinking about how bad we are. Look at how much God has given us and the name we have. We can use the name of Jesus Christ to have that power. Do you have to be a black belt in karate? How many of you are black belts? Nobody. A one? Oh, well. All right. How many of you lift weights? All right. There you go. How many of you are strong? All right. Some of you are strong. Do you have to be a black belt to have spiritual power? Can you be tall? Can you be short? Can you be a man? Can you be a lady? Do you have to have all this physical power? None. None. What is all this about is somebody else won the victory. Somebody else won the power. Somebody else achieved all this stuff. And man, I just gotta be meek enough to believe somebody else got the victory and I'm not going to let anybody take it away from me, and neither should you. It doesn't matter if we're tall or short, a man or a woman, or, you know, karate man or boxer or whatever. It ain't all about all that at all. It's about what he accomplished, and it's about, do I choose to be humble enough, dumb enough, whatever, to be smart enough to believe what somebody has given me? And man, if we could walk out of here this weekend believing who we are in Christ and really believing that's who we are in the world in the name of Jesus Christ, man, that is power, inherent power, and we can walk with power when we believe what he accomplished. Look at Acts 3, verse 16. Acts 3:16. Look at this. Acts 3:16, it says here, verse 16, and his name, through believing in his name, has made this man strong, who you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And his name, through believing in his name, hath made this man strong. The name of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:7, please. Acts 4:7. There they were, Peter and John, and they were before some of the big religious cheeses, the very big religious honchos there in Jerusalem. And in verse 7 it says, and when they had set them in the midst of all these religious dudes asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? By what power or by what name have you done this? So this name had more of a name than just a person's name. What name did you do this? What authority, what position, what accomplishments did you call on to be able to heal this person who had never walked in their life? That's pretty good. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12, we read this before. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now watch this. So there they are, and they're called onto the carpet there. These religious leaders don't like what they're doing. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against that. Why? Because he was healed. Verse 15. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they had a little conference there. They conferred among themselves. So Peter and John are over there, and they're talking now. And this is what they're saying. What shall we do to these men? For that, indeed, a notable miracle. This guy walked, and he'd never walked in his life. He was lame from his mother's womb. For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. People knew him because he was at the temple gate. To all of them that dwelt in Jerusalem. And guess what? We cannot deny it. I mean, this is what happened. Now watch this. But that it spread no further. These guys wanted to stop the move of the word in the first century church. All right, now, we got a plan here. We don't want any more fellowships around. We don't want the word to move in Jerusalem or in Bolivia or in Venezuela or in Florida or Bayonne, New Jersey. We don't want to do any of that stuff. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in what? His name. Look, what was the key? What was how they were going to do it to stop God's word from moving? I can promise you, I and a lot of people in this room, we want God's word to move in the United States, all over the world, different countries, whatever, in my backyard, your backyard. What was the key that these guys, they were going to stop the move of the word? They told them, we're going to threaten you so that you don't speak anymore in his name. That just doesn't mean the name of Jesus Christ. That means his authority. That means his power. That means his position. That means his victory. Everything that name represents, I don't want you to speak anymore. And they were going to put fear in them. Let's throw that around and make it opposite. If we want God's word to move in Florida, in North Carolina, in Georgia, in New Jersey, in other countries, you know what we should do? We should speak that name. We should speak what he accomplished. We should speak what he did. We should speak about his position, his authority, and operate the victory that we have in our life. And that's going to help God's word move. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge ye, for we cannot help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. They were so excited about what they'd seen and heard, nobody was going to shut them up. Let's take a look at another record. Not almost done here. Look at Acts 16, please. Acts chapter 16. Here's a good one. This is the Apostle Paul, and he also was born again, and he also had the ability to use the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 16, 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. That's a devil spirit. Met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. Maybe she used another voice. Who knows? But you know, it wasn't that person speaking. It was the Spirit that was speaking. So in here it says, the same followed Paul and us, crying and saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." She must have said it in a weird way. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the what? The Spirit. The Spirit spoke through. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ." To what? And guess what happened? And he came out the same hour. So what happened? Paul put up with this Spirit for a long time, few days, and then he must have gotten the go sign, the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ in this situation. And he used the name of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit came out. You know, when Jesus Christ was on earth, like we talked about, he healed people, he cast out devils, he did. So is it any wonder in the book of Acts, when people use that name, Jesus Christ, that exactly the same results that Jesus Christ got, they got also when they used that name? That name is bigger than devil spirits. That name is bigger than these things. But do we believe when we say it, or are we afraid? That's really great. You know, going to Florida, I used to live there and spent 4 years of my life and met Lita there, and we got married there, and that was really great. And we stayed there a little while, and then we moved to Florida, but to New Jersey. But when you go to a place, you know, you kind of think about some different things that happened in your life there a long time ago. I lived on a house off of Commercial Boulevard. Many of you guys know Commercial Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale. I lived there with five other single believers, and we ran classes and the Word of God. That was the headquarters there for the move of the Word in South Florida many years ago off of Commercial Boulevard. And like I said, I lived with five other people. How many of you lived with different believers before? Raise your hand. Okay, just about everybody. Okay. Now, a lot of these households that we've lived in over the years, you know, maybe it's a certain person cooks one night and then another person cooks another night. You've done that, right? Some of us have eaten some strange food on some of these nights that we haven't talked, right? I mean, I live with this girl. She was 19 years old, and I don't think she took any cooking classes. I'm not going to mention any names, but the worst meal I ever had in my life. This girl was 19. She could be a chef by now. I don't know. Her signature dish was hot dog soup. Let me give you the recipe for hot dog soup. Put some hot dogs in some water. Turn the fire on, or electric if you live in Florida. Turn it on. Boil the hot dogs. Ladle the water and the hot dogs into the bowl and serve hot dog soup. If any of you didn't get that recipe, I'd be glad to give it to you after the fellowship. I don't know what happened to this girl, but she needed some help when it came to cooking. She was 19 years old, and in many ways, cooking, she was pretty clueless. You know, one day this girl, though, she spoke the word wherever she went, and she invited a guy over the house. And when I wasn't there and she was in the bathroom, this guy came over and he pulled a knife on her right in the house. And she said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here." And he dropped the knife and ran out of the house. She wasn't a very good cook, but she used the name of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that was a lot greater than hot dog soup, right? In the name of Jesus Christ, this guy was big. Who cares? The name of Jesus Christ was bigger. And we have that name. Whether we can cook better than her or not, I don't know. But better than hot dog soup in the name of Jesus Christ. So we have the greatest name, and in that name there's power. We're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a name above every name. It's a name that every knee shall bow. Miracles, healings, casting out of spirits, all these things, it's all ours. We have the name. We take the place of the absent Christ. All we got to do is rise up and believe it. For some like Juliet in Romeo and Juliet, she was trying to say that names were meaningless. For some people in the world, the name of Jesus Christ is totally meaningless. For us, that name of Jesus Christ is our salvation, our power, our new birth, and the power of authority that we have. We are what the Word of God says we are. We have what the Word of God says we have. Let's use what God has given us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your love and goodness. Thanks for taking care of us, and thank you for giving us the power and the victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.